Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a question of Sally?
Certainly.
Sally, this is Lisa again.
Yes, hello.
Sally, I know when we were in Juneau, you had mentioned that in order to move forward with work this summer, in order for the contractor to be able to mob appropriately, that the go-no-go date was the beginning of this month. And we're obviously nearing the middle of the month. Can you talk about impacts there?
Yeah, it's impacting our schedule. It's unfortunate that we only received this report last week. It's very late in the game to try and address these concerns and also mobilize to the site. So, you know, it's a challenge. One of the key factors in getting advance notice was to order the geotextile fabric that goes along the bottom of the monofill. And that is used to filter out all of the filter out fines and only allow water to move through. And so that liner has to be ordered, it's special ordered, and it takes quite a bit of time to get it shipped to Wrangell. So the contractor can't order that until he's been given the go ahead. So.
Can I ask a question?
thank you for that, Sally.
So, this is Assemblymember Powell. I'm kind of confused because Ms. Ashton said that you're not going to put a liner on the bottom, but now we're talking about ordering one?
This is a permeable geotextile fabric, like a very thick felt, and that is to only allow water to move through. So, this monofill is designed to be a breathing system, so it's water that does get through can actually flow out, and it can flow out through this 2-foot layer of rock that Esther described that is on top of the bedrock. So it's not designed to be impermeable, because then we would have water building up and a potential for freeze thaw and the like, and that would be a real problem and cause the monofill to have some serious maintenance issues. And we're going for a very low maintenance system that's going to stabilize over time and be an unobtrusive thing in the landscape.
Yes, please. This is Assembly Member Larrabee. First off, I would like to say thank you to the WCA for the effort that they've put into this. I applaud them for the diligence that they've done. I would really like to see this letter that was sent to the DEC and read this report myself, and I would also like to see the DEC's response to this before we move forward on anything. I think they've brought some very interesting points to the table, and I would like to see how we're going to handle this. There's things that she just mentioned that I wasn't aware of, and certainly feel it changes the game a little bit.
If I may ask another question. Sally, it's Lisa again. Do you think you'll be able to report to us on the outcome of the governor's meeting, commissioner's meeting with the governor at some point in the next day or so?
I'm not sure. I will have to speak with the commissioner first, and I haven't had, he's planning on briefing me tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I might know something tomorrow, but yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
It depends if the governor makes a decision right away or I don't know.
May I ask
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
I'm just going to assembly member for something here. I just want to express my concern that I appreciate, of course, the work that WCA has done, but I just want to remind folks, this was our responsibility, And we were in no position at the time to deal with this toxic mess. I have some concerns that we could wind up holding the bag on this at the end of the day. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure it'd be tough for Shelley to comment on this, but I appreciate that, you know, where my preference would be to see it offsite as well. But I am concerned that we could wind up with a pile of this stuff in our backyard here close to town. Not that I prefer Pats Creek, but given my options at this point. And I was under the understanding from Lisa that the WCA or the meeting, there was some discussion about long-term monitoring. There was some discussion about the tribe taking on some of that work and commitments that if there was an issue at the Monaco site, that the state would be held responsible in perpetuity for any issues that arose. I was wondering, is that the case? And was that any interest from the tribe in working with that if the governor doesn't come to our rescue? But I am worried that this could wind up reverting back to the city and becoming our issue moving forward again.
It is my understanding, and Sally will have to speak to this obviously, that the responsibility of the monofill, if it is on state property, is the state's in perpetuity. That's my understanding.
That is correct. And if I may, I could address some of the issues that were raised in the report that Esther just outlined, just a few of them. In terms of the oily contamination that was found in the rock pit, it's really not uncommon at all. That rock pit's probably been in operation since the mid-70s, and heavy equipment that goes in there to take rock. Inevitably, they periodically have leaks. They might be changing oil. There have been cars burned in that rock pit. There have been cars buried and crushed in the pit, tires burned, and so on. So it really has been used as an industrial site for decades. And the fact that there's some oil in the fractures in the bedrock, and fractured bedrock is pretty common for rock pits because they are subject to blasting, and that's not unusual. It's unfortunate that there's some oil in there, but since we're doing groundwater monitoring, we could certainly monitor for those petroleum hydrocarbons as well, and keep an eye on it. But the source is probably long gone, and it's probably some residual oil that's stuck in the fractures, and that's what was observed in those initial monitoring results. In terms of the phosphate, the concern is that there is excess phosphate in the treated soil, and that would somehow migrate out and impact first groundwater, and then if that groundwater makes it to surface water, which we haven't found that pit is hydrologically connected to surface water, that somehow then that phosphate would then cause algal blooms and hurt aquatic life. And the fact is that the studies that were cited looked at a different form of phosphate than what was used for the Byford soil. And once it's found up, it's not subject to mobilization. But we're going to collect data from the pore water in the stockpile and analyze that for phosphates, among other things, just to make sure that there are no contaminants that are in that water. So that's what we'll be looking at and taking those samples here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We will also be looking at installing an additional well The reason those other two wells were removed were so that the pit could be prepared for the monofill, and we kept the remaining well, and we'll continue to monitor that. So those are just a few. I just wanted to address a few of those concerns.
Mr. Mayor, if I could. One of the other items that Assemblymember Prezonka mentioned was the was WCA taking over some of the monitoring, and I think that may be something that WCA has talked to ADEC about, but that was a discussion that we had separately, that might be something, if there were ongoing testing and monitoring of things that would be done, potentially that's something that WCA could do, but I don't think there's been any official discussion.
Yes, absolutely. But we would never presume to impose upon them for our responsibility to monitor this in perpetuity. However, I definitely look forward to a partnership in doing that, and I was going to propose to the IGAP staff that they participate in the sampling of the pour water in the stockpile with our team. Good and common practice with IGAP staff around the state, with other tribes, to participate in sampling exercises like this, and we would welcome it.
Well, thank you. Anything further on this subject?
Sally, this is Assembly Member Gilbert. I just wanted to know what your no-go date is. What's your bottom date?
I'm sorry, we don't have that. We don't have a no-go date at this point. We're just looking to go forward.
Okay.
And it's becoming, and the longer we wait, the much more difficult it becomes to complete this project this year. And that is why we needed to start in April. The U.S. Forest Service has imposed some restrictions on hauling along Pats Creek Road, such that we are not permitted to haul on weekends or on holidays beginning May 1 through September 30th. And so, because the material can only be moved when it's dry, if it's pouring down rain, we cannot haul the material from the Byford site to the rock pit. And so, every day that we lose extends the schedule and could impact it as much as a month, which further increases cost. So that's why we're very anxious to begin as soon as possible, because then we're in a position where we can't work beyond a certain time in the fall due to weather and so forth, and we would have to maintain again another partial stockpile through the winter, and we don't want to do that, and it's we just don't want to do that. So we'd also have to maintain the site at the monofill, so we'd be maintaining two because we couldn't put the cover system down on the monofill until it was complete.
Go ahead.
You're talking about a month of delays. I just right there. I mean, 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks of testing. And you got 10 days of weekends they can't haul. At least 4 or 5 days of holidays they can't haul. And then you can't haul in the rain. I'm nervous about us missing the whole work season, period. Plus the liner, as I understand, has a life expectancy. And I'm with Assemblymember Prezonka on us getting stuck holding the bag. If this doesn't get hauled this year, does it fall in our laps? Are they going to extend it? Or what's the plan? Is there a plan B? Or this would be C, I guess. Now we're going into.
I would say that we're just hoping that we can start as soon as possible and proceed and keep the costs down and keep to the schedule as much as we can. One thing I do want to say that I didn't get the chance to say earlier is, DEC and City and Borough of Wrangell have been working working together on this project for quite some time, many years now. And I, you know, we really value our partnership with the city, and we really appreciated your involvement and working with you. I personally have really enjoyed working with the city staff on this project, and I just wanted to say that, say thank you.
Do we know, just ballpark, how long it would take to get the liner here? Because that's, I'm guessing you're going to have to scrape the pit, put the liner in, and put some of that fill back. I mean, are we talking about a more delay? Does anybody know how long it would take to get that here? I'm just
thinking. So I can tell you that. The ordering of the liner, I think it takes about 2.5 weeks to arrive. And once it's ordered, so just looking at barge schedules and so on, so that's how long that takes. There's no scraping of the pit. The pit is prepared, so it's not, it's ready for that liner and then the next course of material that goes on top of that to protect that.
Okay.
Yeah.
My last part of the question, what did it, if this doesn't get done this year, the liner that's holding this stuff now is deteriorating. How long does that have? And if it doesn't get done this year, is the DEC still going to clean this up? Because that's my concern.
Well, once we're into the project, absolutely, we're committed. So, and again, it was mentioned that, you know, a question about whether the state is committed over the long term, and absolutely we are. This is on state land in a state, you know, state-owned rock pit, and we construct the monofill, and we're responsible for maintaining it and monitoring it every month for a period of 5 years under the solid waste regulations, and then at that point, the monitoring schedule is evaluated by the solid waste program, and a decision is made whether, you know, to change that monitoring program, but it continues beyond that. So I just want to assure everyone that we're committed to that.
I got one more question. It was put to me today, if we put it at this site, which I don't think anybody on the island wants it on the island, if we put it there and later the money's found again, will the state take it off-site as we did with the first part of it? Take it off-island, I mean, to start.
If funding was found?
Yes. Or would this just be a
if the funding was found and made available, the material could certainly be moved and disposed of out of state, if that's what you were asking. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Anything further from the assembly member?
Mr. Mayor, I would just like to thank Sally for being on the line, and for Esther and Chris and others from WCA for being here to talk to this issue.
And we look forward to the answers to the questions that were posed.
Well, as it was put to me, is that they requested to ask if the city would be willing to write a letter of support.
Actually, I think there was a mistake about that. I wasn't inquiring about a letter being written to DEC necessarily, unless that's your typical practice. I was inquiring just what how the city council was, you know, where they were at with their position on the project.
So, Mr. Mayor, if I may, I think what the Assembly wants is to get a little bit more information, the answers to the questions that have been posed, and then provide further response. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Find out the outcome to the most recent meeting.
Yes.
Correct. Sally, did you get that? We're just interested to hear a response to what happened at the most recent meeting and find out if there's any change of heart based on the WCA's letter and information. So.
Oh, sure.
Yep.
I'll convey that to Commissioner.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you,
Jill,
and WCA for their participation. If there's nothing further on this item, we'll move on.
So we're moving on to M.
Which is renewed 13C.
Good night, Sally.
Item 13C, discussion item, August 1st, roughing filter completion option.
Right. Which is actually
13M.
M, yes.
So, Mr. Mayor, at our meeting about water, about the water treatment system, the Assembly obviously gave concurrence that we move forward immediately with the installation of new roughing filters. And the request was made by the Assembly that we do our utmost to get those in by the August, by an August 1st deadline, in order to make sure that we have the most efficient roughing filters in place to help accommodate better production of water during the hot, what is typically the highest consumption time because of fish processing. Amber, our Public Works Director, has put together two different schedules, one that we would call a traditional procurement schedule, the other is an expedited procurement schedule. We've got that information before you to try to get some a feeling or some concurrence as to how you would like to proceed. And the expedited schedule allows for us to get close to the August 1 deadline, but is going to require a little bit different procurement methodology than we normally use. And Amber is here to describe all of that.
Go ahead.
Should I start from the beginning?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. So thanks for letting me come before you and pose the two schedules. What we heard at our February 5th workshop meeting with the Assembly was that, if at all possible, an August 1st completion date is what they would like to see for the roughing filter. So, considering the time that it takes to complete the design, go through ADEC's engineering review, and then go back and finish up the design work, then go through the full procurement process before we even select a contractor to start the work. We're looking at about a two-month process for that, and then just running through procurement for the contractor, getting them on board to establish a contract, have all the bonds and insurances in place, which is what we require for all jobs of that nature, and then giving them notice to proceed. At that point, that's when they start submitting the submittal data from the forced to filter manufacturer. They'll put that work together, submit it to us. It will be reviewed by the engineer to make sure that they're ordering the right parts as specified, and then they would place the order once that review from the engineers has come back. Then the order process begins. It's a 6 to 8 week lead time for the process, fabrication process, and then there's a shipping time before it arrives in Rainbow and the project in the field can begin. So considering that length of time that you have before you under this regular procurement schedule, we wouldn't be looking at a project start until late August at best. So in order to attempt an expedited schedule, what we would need to do is, the only thing I can come up with is eliminate the procurement code or give a waiver to procurement through the competitive bidding process and select a contractor that we would negotiate with. We would bring them on board as we're working and finishing the design. They can help put some eyes to the project. There's a benefit to that in that they are the ones installing the project in the field. They understand, they can work with the engineer, flesh out any constructability issues that they may see through design, and help us get the product ordered early on. It's very possible, too, that the city could go ahead and order those products with assistance from the contractor and engineer, which would save us some markup, some markup on the product that way. But that would be what we would need to give up to attempt an August 1st completion of this project. It would be foregoing the procurement of a competitive construction project and sole sourcing and negotiating with contractors. That's the only way it can be done. I talked to a contractor who does only water and wastewater work, piping work is his specialty. He's done a lot of work in Wrangell, and he does excellent work. And he has reviewed our schedule and the project with me. He hasn't seen the design work yet, but we've talked at length about it. And based on his current construction schedule with his crew and what he's got committed, he's confident that if we stay on project schedule, as I've got it lined out here, that he could complete that work in about 6 weeks' time, which would get us right just about the August 1st mark.
And part of this is due to the fact that we're doing a roughing filter pilot test as well.
Yes. That pilot that we talked about shipped yesterday, so it's on its way to Wrangell. It should be here hopefully by Friday. We've got the pump that we need. We're getting set up to implement the pilot study. We'll work with CRW as we collect the data from that. We've also located an engineer in New Mexico who's using the force to filter in a fracking reclamation project. They also use it in conjunction with ozone in their water, which was really important for us to find someone who does that, because that's the environment that we have that these filters will be under. Ozone is very corrosive, so we wanted to make sure that we had the comfort that it will withstand the ozone. And hands down, the engineer that's using this and has been for years says that the Forsta filter is one of the best products out there and is performing very well for them. So we were happy to make contact with them. But that these are the two options that we can look at. We'd be taking direction from you. If you would agree to that procurement waiver, we would move swiftly and bring the that contractor in if you agreed to our recommendation.
Go ahead, Drew.
What are any potential downfalls that you see or hazards to that change in process? To that change of process?
I don't see any. I think that there are lots of benefits to doing a design build delivery method for construction, which is what this would be similar to. Where you bring the designer and the contractor together, so they work through the design early on, so you don't get into construction and there's finger pointing and you didn't design a project well and I've got problems in the field now, and who takes the brunt of that is the owner. The owner of the project is the one who's going to be disadvantaged with that relationship.
Any potential negative cost effect? But you did say that there's a possibility of saving money through purchasing and things like that, but any possible negative effect?
I don't see any negative cost effects to that. I see only benefit. We'll be able to negotiate with the contractor, work through the work that needs to be done, question his costs if we feel like they're egregious. We would be able to save some of the markup if we're ordering materials, but have his oversight with the ordering
To your knowledge, are there any local contractors that can handle this job?
There are no local contractors that do piping work to the degree that this one contractor does. We had a sewer pump station 2 years ago. If you'll remember, we upgraded our two largest pump stations downtown. And we talked to some of the local contractors about that job, because we were actually trying to fast track that as well and wanted to take advantage of some local contractors who do civil work. And we talked to all of them here in town, and in the end, they didn't even bid on the work. And I don't know why.
Yeah,
I'm
done. Okay.
Aside from with the prototype filter coming in right now, currently, is that going to maybe help alleviate some of our water problems in the near future?
No, not with the pilot project.
John, not with the pilot.
What the pilot project will give us is data that will help the engineers review the flow rates, the pressure of the pumps, the size of pumps that are needed, and just see how well it's removing the characteristics from the water that we want to remove.
It's not going to help Wade and what he's currently under.
No.
And not at all. Okay. Not
no,
even.
It's a small canister that's really big.
Oh.
Yeah. Have
never mind then.
Might help this.
So it'll be easy for us to do kind of a plug and play into
gotcha.
The existing system and run the water through it in the same condition that it would be accepting and delivering the water in the final project.
Any further discussion, comments, questions? Thank you.
Well, I was going to say this was a discussion item. can we give direction to our city manager if we so choose to proceed?
No, normally, I would say it wouldn't be proper because we're dealing with money. But because everything was on the agenda, it's a procedure, so it is really up to the assembly.
I think we could do that, and I did. Oh, can I? I did have a question for you. When we have not approved the DAFT plant cost yet, but in your documents on page 9 of 10, you had $457,000 from the water fund to go towards that, but then you amended it to only $150,000, and I thought, I bet she's saving the rest of that money for the Forsta filter.
Correct. You asked this question in your last meeting, and I wasn't here. And at the time, I recalled exactly how that's written on page 9 of 10. But right now, I don't. But yes, the $458,000 for the Rocky filter was included in that, but it would not be a part of the DAF project.
Right.
So it was included in the total of the column that it was listed. But
correct.
It's not a part of the funding that we're seeking necessarily for the DAP project.
For the DAP.
And I'm sorry, I don't recall exactly how that was laid out. To speak
oh, I see that, it in my head. So do we have a cost estimate on the Forsta filter installation and purchase? And do we have that in our water fund reserves?
We do have that cost estimate. That's the $458,000 that the engineers put forth as a conceptual cost before they are now going back and doing the redesign based on the 6 filters that were deemed required after we had our particle count determined to be together. So that's the engineer's estimate on that. We do have $250,000 budgeted in this year's capital project for the water for that project that was slated to take place last year based on the 2 filter configuration. We're now looking at a 6 filter configuration, so we will have to add the balance of that cost to our upcoming budget. And it would be good to have another benefit to having a contractor come on early is to flush out that cost and understand what we're looking at. But we do have the ability to fund that in the upcoming budget.
We're getting kind of far afield from the roughing filter here.
I don't think so. Asking about money, I think that's a problem.
Well, you're doing it into other types of filter systems and stuff.
No, I was talking about Forsta. I don't like to be shut down.
Yes, but the public has a right to know and be present when these discussions are taking place.
Mayor, I do think this budget question is directly related to...
Do you feel...
Yes, because she's speaking about the Forsta filters directly, which is the brand that is being... that's the type of filter that's being considered for the roughing filter. So I think it's appropriate.
Okay, go ahead.
If I may suggest, if you are comfortable approving this or if it's not the right procedure, we are meeting on Thursday. Could we add it? No, we can't.
I had a quick question, and I'm sorry I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on this particular topic because I didn't have the knowledge. The Forsta filters that you're looking at, will they be usable with the new DAF system if we were to approve it?
If we move forward with the DAF project, these filters could be used,
would be used
as an interim for the roughing filter process. As we are in construction, because what would happen as projected right now, we'll take the roughing filter building where the roughing filter is now, and the DAF project will be after this project's summer project. We would have to relocate those. I'm actually looking at seeing if we could get those
the pre-filters.
Skid mounted configuration, so they could more easily be relocated and still be in use while the DAP project's being constructed. So that's really, the roughing filter building is the only portion of our existing facility that would be impacted during construction of the DAP project. So it would just be a matter of getting those filters out of that building, relocating them somewhere else and making the plumbing connections. And so yes, there'll be a benefit. If we didn't have them, we'd be adding that cost into the DAP project for an interim process.
Thank you.
That's a great question.
Anything further?
Well, then I have to move that we approve this and move it forward in a quick manner.
So what I'm looking for is, if there is no objection, we'll go forward with an expedited schedule.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just have a show of four hands? Okay, thanks.
I'm going to call the
reader. I raised my hand here, Kim.
Okay.
Shut up.
Oh.
I'm going to call a recess at 9:25 p.m.
Okay.
for about 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Oh, for Christ.
You were in those chairs.
I am sitting. How do you spell that stuff?